Hey everybody, Ulysses Butch Slaughter here. Welcome to Yummy Liberation, Sex and the Struggle. Monday the 23rd of October. I want to welcome you to Sex and the Struggle, the Lummy. Yummy Liberation Chronicles. This is what happens when you're running a little bit behind. I know my girl Kelly will be on in just a moment. Joining me, she is the host of Yummy Liberation. We got a lot to talk about, as we always have a lot to talk about, because there's always something to talk about when you live in the world of Yummy Liberation. And Kelly and I have had some exchanges. Let me say that again. Kelly and I have had some exchanges over the last day or so. We believe in pleasure. We believe in pleasure. And I can't wait for her to come on. I mean, I'm going to have to, but I'm looking forward to her coming on, because there's this thing that we do called Sex in the Struggle. And Sex in the Struggle takes into account that sex exists within the human struggle. Sex is probably the biggest part, and not just intercourse, but sex is probably the biggest part of the human struggle. I find myself lately paying a lot of attention to, to people's bodies and how they show up in their bodies and how they present who they are on a daily basis. And I'm sure I'm guilty of this sometimes too, like kind of operating on autopilot, just kind of almost hypnotized, immersed in the world in such a way that I actually forget that I'm alive. And so I'm just kind of going through motions of the everyday stuff that is presented to me. And I'm going to get an opportunity to step back and really, I guess, feel what is going on. What's going on for me at any given time? And I like when I am alive and alert and clear and focused about the fact that I am alive. I am living in and through a beautiful body with a beautiful mind in a beautiful world. Sometimes I get lost in that. And I know other people get that too. Other people get lost in that too. And I see Kelly is joining me now. I'm going to want to talk about that a little bit today, but I want to bring Kelly in to see where my sister is.
Hello.
What is up, Kelly V?
Hello.
Hey, what's happening,
Hi.
Sis?
I'm
good
here.
Good to hear your
I'm
voice.
Here. Technology. Oh, good to hear yours. I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I was
do.
Riffing.
I get lost just like you do, Ulysses. I get lost in the awesomeness. I do.
Yeah. I'm glad you put it that way, because that's exactly what it is. I get lost in the awesomeness. And it's a very interesting mind fuck, Kelly, where depending on who I'm talking to and how I'm engaged with them, I become exquisitely aware of the chemistry, the energy that I'm exchanging with people. And I'm happy to be moving in this body, through this body, expressing myself through this body. I'm happy to be visible for people to see physically and visible for people to experience emotionally. I'm happy. And there's a great deal of pleasure attached to that for me. And I know that there are people that would love to be invisible because they don't want to be seen. They don't particularly like the way they show up.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to be visible. I'm happy to show up. And I don't know. I'd like to believe I'm going somewhere with this. But I'm just happy to be showing up here. That's all.
I think you're happy because you can remember how you felt when you wanted to be invisible and you were just in your fucking place of being miserable, and you're like, you've gotten to the other side of that, probably for the most part, and you're fucking happy. And so, you know, it's important to appreciate that.
It absolutely is important to appreciate that. It's important. I think it's important to remember, whenever I use the term remember, I don't think about just, you know, recognition. I think about remembering as in putting the members back in place, you know, looking at how things sometimes seem separate, broken, when in fact, all one thing. It's all one puzzle. And there are parts of the puzzle that have some pain attached to them. And it's the parts of the puzzle that have some pain attached to them that actually help me to put in context the pleasure that I have or the pleasure that I want. I do classes sometimes around, as this wouldn't surprise you, I do classes sometimes around healing. And one of the things that is always interesting to me is how people talk about healing. And when you talk about healing for what? What are you healing for? Oftentimes people just kind of stay there. They want to be healing. And I get that healing is a process, but healing is attached to pleasure. So if you can't like heal up pleasure for optimal pleasure, then healing has no purpose.
Right. Yeah. I was it's so interesting that you're talking about healing, because I just came off a weekend of being around women and serving 20 women on Friday and Saturday and getting to know women that I've never met before. And I co-hosted this event with Celia Ward Wallace, who is a life coach and mindset expert like myself. And it was called Women's Night Out, and it was in Atlanta. And going around the room, you know, we listen to each person kind of introduces themselves, and you know, they say what led them here, what brought them here. And I remember it got around to this one woman, and she basically said, you know, I have been isolated. I've been a stay-at-home wife really my whole, you know, adult life. And she has some, you know, stuff from childhood, and like everyone does. And she said that she said some version of like, she feels inadequate around other people. She feels like, you know, awkward and weird. And she is in a point in her life where she's healing. Okay, so when people make her feel awkward because she's a stay-at-home wife, which is, we both know, no one can make her feel awkward. That's all her inner stuff, but that's how she worded it. And which is what human beings do. You know, we look outside of ourselves for the reasons for things. And so so she's like, you know, when people make me feel this way, I just tell them, you know, I'm healing right now. Because she's still at home, she's not working or anything like that, which is fine. So her husband supports her and the kids, and it's whatever. And so as if being a mother isn't like a huge full-time job. I mean, that's what she's been doing. And so she said, I'm healing right now, you know? And so, yes, healing is a process. But yes, also pleasure and our sexuality. I mean, that's at like the core of our healing, right? And so that's what I teach the women that I work with, if that's not something they already know and they make like foundational in their lives. But she's actually one of the first women, because when I go around the room, I, you know, say what I do and talk about what I believe and and what I teach. And so, of course, I have all these women coming up to me asking sexual questions, you know, but she's the first woman who came right up to me, and she's so freaking awesome. And she's a Black woman, and she was raised very religiously. And so she's like, and she basically said in the circle, she's like, I love God, I love Jesus, but she's like, but I'm done going to church. And she said, and a lot of her friends, you know, have gotten on to her about it. So she isolates herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so she feels very isolated. And so she got around me for a couple days. And by the end of the second day, she's like, and she lives here in Atlanta, so I'll be connecting with these ladies more. But she's like, Kelly, she's like, you're making me a little uncomfortable. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, you're going to turn me into a bad girl. You're going to turn me into a bad girl. And I'm like, well, do you like it? Because you're the one who came up to me after first meeting me and asked me about how do you squirt. So it sounds like that what I said just resonated with you, right? And so she came right up to me, you know, at the break, and she asked me about, she asked me about squirting, like, for real. And she, you know, she was trying to control her squirt, which is a whole other conversation, which is why she hasn't done it yet. But anyway, so then I found out yesterday that she had, in fact, finally let go and allow that to happen for her with her husband, which is awesome. Yay. I always like getting more support.
Clapping over on this side too. Clapping right
orgasm.
On. That's right. Squirt.
Niagara Falls. So yeah. And so going around the circle with the different women, they are all in this place of quote unquote healing. I think we're all always healing, but the way that they were expressing it and the way that they were feeling it when they said it was like, I'm in this place, like I've been fucking hurting for a long time and I can't really put my finger exactly on it. God, there's a lot of shit that, you know, I've been through in my life, but like I'm an adult now and I don't know what's holding me back, and I'm an emotional wreck and I'm a hard shell and no one can penetrate, and I only trust this one person in my life, and you know, I'm stuck and I'm healing and I cry and I'm sad and I'm tormented. So it's like this suffering. And and I will say too that there is a mindset that is perpetuated even among coaches. And what I've experienced, and you tell me what you think too, Ulysses, because you get to hang out a lot more than I do, probably in person with people, because I've got business and kids, and my relationships a lot of times are online, and I collaborate that way, just like we're doing right now. So I have a lot of friends who are coaches, and a lot of them are very liberal in their political views. And a lot of them are very into the news and watching the news and the news stories and all of that. And those people who know me know how I feel about the news. I feel like it's a bunch of crap. I feel like it's yellow journalism. I feel like it's sensationalized. I feel like it's Hollywood bullshit. And is there some truth to it? Sure. But a lot of it exists to keep people separated and also keep people focused on the wrong shit, which is everything outside of themselves, right? And so there's this teaching and there's this story among coaches that I respect and that I love and that I admire, that they actually are feeding to the women within our circles that says it's this ideology that says we live in an unsafe world. We live in a world that is not safe for women. We aren't safe. And I don't agree with that. And so but I also have the capacity to listen to someone else's viewpoint and opinion and see where they're coming from also. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I can disagree, but also agree. So I'm in that point in my life where I can see all of it and I can understand all of it and not take an offense to anything. But I also see the story and I also don't agree with it. And I think that it isn't valuable to growth. I don't think it's valuable to the conversation, other than, listen, I know you feel unsafe. I know that you have felt unsafe. I know that there are things that have happened in our world that could make women scared or fearful or feel unsafe. But I don't feel unsafe. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty vigilant with my kids. I'm pretty vigilant with, like, making sure I see, you know, who's around me at all times when I'm, you know, going out. You know, I practice being safe, you know, but it's not what I'm teaching my kids. We live in an unsafe world. This world is unsafe for women. And so it's very much a program and a story that I hear a lot. Have you heard that a lot?
Kelly, in the time that you and I were on the phone, I just got an invitation from a friend of mine who wants me to come to invited me to a lecture that's happening tomorrow night, or a conversation that's happening tomorrow night about it's called the Women's Circle, and they want to talk about healing. So here you are talking about healing, and somebody sending me something about healing. And then a little while ago, I am tagged on Facebook by another friend of mine who wants me to come to something about the Million Woman March 20th anniversary. They call it Real Talk, Abuse of Black Women and Girls. So I'm hearing all of this stuff, and, you know, it's one of those conversations, Kelly, that I have to really slow down with, because, you know, I've gone through some personal processes that have gotten me to a place where I can talk a truth that is consistent with my beliefs and my behavior. And I know people that talk, but the words that come out of their mouth are not in alignment with what's going on inside of them.
Right.
And that's very important. I tell people that we for the most part, all of us have two holes in our bodies, and shit can come out of both of them. Or we have two holes where shit can come out. We can shit out our butts, and then we can talk shit out of our mouths. Some people are just really good
that's
at talking.
So nasty, Elizabeth.
It is disgusting. I agree.
We can shit out of our butts. Okay.
Anyway, I think I told you I had my 17-year-old daughter at Sex in the Struggle. The first live event that I did, my 17-year-old daughter was there, and I introduced her to the group, and I said to the group, to the panel and to the audience, if my daughter is not safe here in the room with her godfather, good friends, if she's not safe here to talk about and safe to hear and listen and talk in this conversation with these people, then she won't be safe anyplace. So
right.
The point I'm really trying to nail something, but this is just like a big conversation.
Yeah, I know.
You talked about
and you
the
said
news.
You have to slow yourself.
You
down.
Really, yeah. 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 Because sometimes I think people just want drama. I talk with people all the time about manufacturing drama. Some people just think that drama, especially pain drama, is the only type. And pleasure is dramatic as a motherfucker. I'm telling you, I'm just going back to last night, Kelly. I had some dramatic pleasure last night, and I prefer that drama over some of the other bullshit that I've experienced in my life. I mean, I had, you know, the whole thing. I had the climax. I had, you know, the build up in the story. I had some drama last night, and I enjoyed it. And so I feel safe I feel safe because there's no fear. There's no internal fear for me. And I know, like you,
right.
I know there's shit going on around me. I keep my eyes open. I get the sense every now and then that something ain't quite right, but I am not afraid of this world. I'm just not.
Right.
And I'm not going to teach people to be afraid, particularly women. I'm not going to teach women. I'm not going to support that. And I just want to make this one last point. Sometimes when I don't support that as a man, people think that I am being insensitive to the issues of women. And nothing can be further from the truth. I believe in the power of women. And so I'm not going to keep saying, you're in trouble, watch your back. You're in trouble, watch your back. Nah, that's not what I do. And I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's no way to live, you know. And I ask my husband these questions too. And because I always want to be sensitive around certain topics, especially around, you know, women, especially women of color.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like I kind of mentioned on Facebook the other day, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but like being able to remain sensitive, how do we remain sensitive for those of us who have sort of like ascended a little bit more probably than like most people in terms of our mindset around understanding that our world is cyclical and it goes in cycles. And sometimes we have to regress a little bit to take our step leaps forward, you know? Mm-hmm. And right now I see us as in a regression place, because change and new paradigm is being challenged from every mm-hmm. which way.
Mm-hmm.
And so collectively as a consciousness, we're regressing. That doesn't mean everyone has to regress. That just
right.
means as a consciousness, the collective seems to be doing that. And that's normal. That's a normal thing, you know, in the world. And so that's why for a lot of people, it seems to be just like, oh my God, are we moving backward? Well, yeah, we probably are a little bit collectively. And so what kinds of conversations can we have to start moving back forward again? And sometimes it gets worse, you know, before it gets better. But, you know, these women, you know, along with like, it's not a safe place. So I would say that 80% of the women at this Atlanta Women's Night Out were Black, and all of them were raised very religiously. Some of them are still very religious. And, you know, with all the news, with the shootings and, you know, killings and police officers and, you know, all the stuff that's on the news, for me and for my husband, you know, like the conversation sort of goes something like, you know, my husband always says, this is people, I don't understand why people are acting so surprised. Like, this has been going on for a very long time. This is not new. Like, this isn't new. So what conversations do we need to have since this is not new that we can move forward from that point? And so it's like remaining sensitive and also knowing that like as a coach, I never want anyone to just dismiss their feelings or dismiss their stories or dismiss their past as though they never happened, because, you know, our stories are, you know, what grow us and like what get us to the next, you know, point in our lives. But figuring out how am I going to respond to trauma? How am I going to dust off and get back up and move forward kind of thing? And so that's where I like to take my clients. And because so many of those women in there, especially there was one in particular, she was very fucking angry. Like, she was really fucking angry. And Celia, who, and a couple of the ladies said this, and Celia is the woman who, you know, led this, got these, this group together, and I just co-hosted. And Celia is also white, and she, her husband is also black, and they live in, like, South, they live in, like, L.A., like, South, like, really, like, central Los Angeles. And, and so, like, she's very familiar with the black culture, and almost more so than her own, and her daughters are black, and she's very, very sensitive to women's issues, women of color issues, and this one woman in particular that was there, she's like, yeah, when I first ran across Celia, I thought, what is this white bitch going to teach me? Like, what does she know that I'm going to get somehow? And a cup, right? And so, and, you know, we all laugh about it, but that they admit, like, what is this white woman going to? So it's like, but then they listen more and the teachings resonate with them because they're ready for change. They're ready for something different. And they're ready to stop being stuck in their stories that are not theirs, really. A lot of the stories aren't theirs. And so it's like, my thing is like, how do I remain sensitive? And then also, how do I help these women to move forward? Right? Like, how do I help people to move forward when I want to be sensitive? Right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like a fine, it's like a, it's a fine walk, especially for someone who's white, you know, especially someone, for someone who's white, because we do still play in that old paradigm and in that dynamic of there being this, this racial divide. You know, as a consciousness, we're still playing in that water.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think I have this, this term I use, Kelly. It's not a original term at all, but I use the term creative license. It's an artistic term. You know, people use creative license when they tell stories. People use creative license like when they're doing a movie based on somebody's life. They have to use creative license because they weren't there. And so they have to figure out how they can hold the integrity of something creatively, understanding that they weren't there and they can't tell a precise truth. And when I talk with people about the stories that they have, even when I share my own story, I talk about creative license. I say, you know, I can take the elements and my understanding of those elements and configure them in such a way that they become motivation and liberating for me versus paralyzing for me. I can say, you know, my name is fucking Ulysses, Kelly. That's my name. And so, you know, when I look at the way that the universe set me up, giving me a name like Ulysses, and putting me in the predicament that I was put in at the age of 12 with my parents, I think, damn, you know, Ulysses is the name of a demigod. Ulysses, he was, you know, the main character in the Odyssey. Ulysses is a
You're a
powerful
motherfucking god.
We talking about a powerful motherfucker. So, you know, in the Odyssey, the story, Ulysses has to deal with the Scylla and Charybdis, these sea monsters and a number of other things, and he came through. Ulysses, this particular Ulysses had a mother named Clarice, which means clarity, famous and beautiful. That was my mother's name. So I look at the symbols in my life. I look at the people in my life and the things, and I'm like, I'm going to craft a story out of some horrible shit. I'm going to take a horrible fucking story, and I'm going to craft one of the most triumphant stories possible with this shit that I've been given. And see, I believe everybody can do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody can do that. And so, like you, I like to be sensitive to the fact that everybody's not quite there. But one of the things that I have to do that I hope will help people, I have to live my truth. I got to be able to live the truth of Ulysses. I can't be so sensitive to people in their challenges that I don't challenge them on their sensitivities. Because if I keep saying yes.
Hold on. Say that again.
Yes. I can't be so sensitive to their challenges that I don't challenge them on their sensitivities.
So good. That's a tweetable.
Is that a tweetable? Yeah.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that people get that there are pieces put in front of us, and we are the ones who cohere them. We are the ones who arrange them. And this is where I also say to some people, just shut the fuck up sometimes when you're dealing with people who have had particular challenges. You know, some people make matters worse. You know, people used to say to me, you know, you were traumatized. I'm like, I didn't ask you to put that fucking label on me. I didn't ask you to, you know, give me my reality. I'll make that up myself.
Did you ever look at it as though you were traumatized, though?
Absolutely, because this was the language that was served up to me. So, you know, I was definitely shocked. I was definitely disappointed. I was a whole lot of things. But Kelly, I have to put it this way. When I go back and I remember that image and as I still remember that image of this huge gaping hole in the side of my mother's head, I'm sitting there, a boy of 12, looking at this. I'm looking at my father and I'm looking at my mother and I'm looking at this scene. And I could be stuck. You talked about earlier on, you were talking about how we go through phases as human beings and we go through cycles. There's something interesting about the way that we have not come to terms with this thing we call death. We haven't come to terms with it in a way that allows us to keep going forward. And I'm not saying dismiss the passing, dismiss life. What I am saying is know the continuity of life. Know that just as I look at my mother on that floor, that there's an energy that was within my mother that simply escaped.
Right.
That energy escaped.
Yeah. And went back to where it came from.
Yeah. And
it's huge.
You said it's huge?
It's huge. Huge.
It is, Kelly. So when your husband Ned says, these things aren't new. My uncle said that to me once before. He said, you know, the world hasn't changed. You have.
Mm-hmm.
And he was absolutely right. So, again, just as your husband Ned says, this stuff isn't new. We have to figure out, as today's human being, how we are going to redefine the things that are not new. Because if we keep defining the things that are not new in the same
tweetable.
Way, hey, this should have been the tweetable edition of Yummy Liberation.
I know.
Because we really do, Kelly. I like the woman coming up to you wanting to know how to squirt. That's what I like. I want every woman to know how to do that, because that's a power that she has, that she owns that power. And I don't care who the president is, she owns the power to squirt. And to me, she's got more power than the president if she can do that.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the other part, too, that I hear a lot is, listen, the social constructs were made so that, you know, we know that there are certain people who are disadvantaged because of the powers that be outside of them rule things. And it's not, and I'm just like, I don't like that story. To me, when I hear that story, it rubs me the wrong way. So,
tell me, what's that story again, Kelly?
The story of, you're not fully in control of your own life, because there are powers that be that, you know, that make it so, you know, for instance, you know, the whole, I want to word this the right way. so that it's completely understood what I'm saying. Ned could totally say it in a better way. So the story of that there are powers that be, aka the government, the president, the social constructs that make it to where women, women of color, people of color are disadvantaged, and that it's like the white privilege, and then you've got the disadvantage. Oh, and then the low income people too. So it's like you guys don't have power over your own life because there are social constructs in place that make it to where you just don't have, you know, you don't have that power. And I think that that's bullshit.
I agree.
And I think that it is very, to me, I think it puts people at a disadvantage to continue that story, because the truth is, like, every single person has the power to transform their stories. And like you said earlier, like, fucking, you know, craft a triumphant story out of this shit sandwich that I was dealt, that I didn't fucking ask for, but it fucking happened. Mm-hmm. So that's where I come from. And so when I hear these as common themes among circles of women that I'm close to, it bothers me that we can't move the dialogue forward, and or that we haven't yet, you know, had the conversation of, okay, I know this is the dialogue. Okay, I know this is the past. I know that these are the stories. This is the current story. How do we make the story sound more like this right here, right? And so does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the story.
I think we do people a disservice, Kelly, when we keep sending them back to the trap. Yeah, we it's like, go back to the trap. So you come out, you're looking around, you're saying, I'm a slave. And my answer to you is, you're right, you're a slave. The fuck kind of answer is that?
Yes, you agree. It's right. You are, right? So
yeah, yes, I'm going to agree with your subhuman stuff. I'm going to agree that you are a second-class citizen. I'm going to agree with all of that stuff versus saying, no, you know what? I'm going to challenge that, and I'm going to challenge everybody else on this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think you and I, for who we are and who we say we are, we have an obligation to challenge that stuff. If we don't challenge that stuff, then we're just some fucking two-bit hustlers. And that's not me.
Oh, damn.
So, I'm sorry. It's kind of like, you know, the shit thing I did earlier. My fault.
Oh, two-bit hustler. Yeah, I didn't challenge it. I didn't challenge it when I heard it come up this weekend. And, you know, because I know Celia is very political and very much an activist, which I think is awesome. And I didn't challenge it. I was really excited about riffing on this with you to see what your thoughts are. And so, I totally agree. It's like, we can't be so sensitive to their challenges that we're not willing to challenge them on their sensitivities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just for those who might be tuning in, I need people to know who you are. This is Kelly Vandiver, folks. This is Yummy Liberation on Sex and the Struggle. So Kelly is doing what Kelly does, and that is keeping it more real than most people who say they're keeping it real. I think we owe it, Kelly, to be, we're fucking warriors, and I know some warrior women in particular.
Do you know what my name means?
Which one?
Kelly.
No, what's Kelly mean?
Warrior baby.
Yeah, see, that's just what I'm talking about. You got Kelly in
my
Ulysses.
Name, yeah, Kelly means warrior. So when people say I'm a scared world and scared, and I'm like, I am not fucking scared, like, at all. Like, I've never been fucking scared. Like, I'm just not. And so, like, you know, I'm just not.
Yeah.
It's
not in your genes?
No, it's not in my DNA. It's not there. I'm a warrior.
Yeah. I just think that's so important for people to get that. And you and I are talking about our names. I often say that a lot of our direction comes from our names. And I don't want to go down the wrong path here, but I think, you know, if people would take a look at their names, and even if you decided to rename yourself, come up with a name that defines you as the most powerful motherfucker that ever lived and ever will live.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that covers everything. It absolutely covers all time and space. Have a name like Kelly that means fucking warrior.
I added
the fucking part to it, but you know, I can use. I'm using creative license to do that. I just use creative license.
But you know what I mean?
I am a
fucking warrior also. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, I look at the meaning of my name. I'll look it up sometimes, and I'll get really sentimental because I'm like, wow, like, you know, my mom and my dad, because my mom chose my name. Like, my mom was, like, really tapped into my spirit to have come up with that name and chosen that name, you know, for me. Because it's just who I am. And so I love my name. It's awesome. So moving it into the sex aspect and the sex and the struggle and the sex. I never like to get off a call and we haven't talked about sex at all. Because a lot of these women, right, at the women's night out, and you'll deal with this, I'm sure, or you'll hear it or you'll feel it in some kind of way energetically if you attend some of these, you know, Million Women March or these events where, you know, they're wanting to talk about healing for women and stuff like that. The several of them, probably, I would say maybe, I don't know, maybe about a third of the women there, not quite half, but there were several ladies in there who, you know, because when I get in a group and when I'm like pumped up and when I've like really prepared myself for an event, which requires you to have a lot of fucking energy, by the way, and things like that, where you're holding space for a lot of women, it's exhausting. So you have to really rest up, you know, get ready, get physically ready, mentally ready and all that and prepared. And even after that, it's still exhausting. But when I'm in those environments, I am pumped up. Like, I get really, like, you'll see me talking, and I'm talking to someone, and I'm excited because I'm talking about the shit I love to talk about. And sometimes you'll see me, like, bouncing up and down in my chair because, like, I'm so lit up, like, sexually. And so some women are like, yes, I want whatever you're having. And then some of them, they kind of like are standoffish because I make them uncomfortable. And I know I make them uncomfortable because women have told me that, but I know it's not because of me. I know it's just, you know, they've got stuff going on. And so, and so some of them were very standoffish, and I even had, you know, in discussion, we'll be talking, and I will make comments, or I will start, everything that I start talking about is sexually related. It just is, because for me, it all goes back to that. And so, yeah. I mean, that's our core, right? Like, that's like, who is it? Eckhart Tolle. I love Eckhart Tolle, who talks about, the deep I that's within, that's the mm-hmm. part of us that is like divine connection, like that is consciousness, that is where we all go back to when we die in these physical bodies. The deep I is the thing that always is trying to come forth and be expressed. And so that deep I in me, I very much express, especially in person. And so, because I just get really energized around crowds of women and around people. And so, I had one lady when we're talking and comments are made or whatever, and I made a comment and Celia was talking about self-care, and she was like, you know, you can practice meditation, you can practice this, and then I was like, you can practice herbation, you know, and so those things come out, and like half the women are like, ah, that's great, yes, I need to do that, and then, right, and then some of them, and then one woman goes, is everything sex for you, Kelly? Like, she was serious.
I would love to be there when you do this type of shit, Kelly. You, I have some incredible female friends. You, Frenchie, Tazima, I just love you all because you all make me feel more like a man. But please continue.
Woohoo! So I looked at her and I said, yes, absolutely. That's what it is all about for me. I said, sex is the way I got here, and I said, it's the way I'm going to leave, in one big orgasm. And I just looked at her, and it's such a profound statement, but that is my fucking statement. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, because people ask me that all the time. They're like, why does it always go back to sex? Is everything about sex? And I'm like, yes, I can make everything about sex, everything. And it is who I am. It's how I got here, and it's how I will leave here in one big orgasm. And so I just put so much there because it's so foundational. Like, right? It's how we fucking got here, and it's how we fucking got here. Then we must have got here with everything we fucking need to make it here, right? And so that sexual energy that created you must be a huge part of sustaining you while you're fucking here. So it's always been my focus of being and my focus of study, of being great at it, of playing with it, of then also taking sexual energy and applying it in my work, applying it in my projects, applying it in my connection with other people. I can have deeply profound conversations with people, and it's like sex, you know, you're fucking literally, you know? And so I love that energy because it's so high frequency, right? It's how you get here. And like you were talking about earlier with dying, it's how you fucking leave in big orgasm. Yeah, so that is like my jam, and I want it to be everyone's jam. Oh my God, can you even imagine?
I love it. I love the whole big orgasm thing. I think when I move around, kind of like you, Kelly, I'm very aware of deep I, that inner I, that. I think this is what I was saying earlier around when I'm walking around, sometimes I become acutely aware that I am operating inside of this body. And I love it. I love it. I love feeling the life flowing through me. And every part of me tingles. There are times where it's like, I'm just like
me
so
too.
Fucking, you know what I mean? I'm just like,
yes.
so fucking turned on with the energy moving through me. And if other people are like, you know, trapped in their minds, you know, you know how you sit in meetings sometimes, Kelly, and everybody is so fucking heady you can tell everybody is so fucking tight, and it's like everybody is just kind of thinking, but nobody is doing Kegels maybe. Like, you know, I'll be sitting there doing a Kegel or two, you know. Sometimes I just like, you know, stroke my chin or my eyebrows or something. Just, you know, a little low level but high sensational touching of myself in a meeting. You know what I mean? I love that shit. I absolutely love it. And so when people balk around you and I talking about sex, I just like, I don't get it. What, all this other shit is pretense. Sex is the most real shit we got. Everything else is just pretense. It's some shit that we came up with, these games we play in our earthly lives. But what really matters is fucking intercourse and interplay. That's what matters. All this material shit that we fuck around with every day, that shit don't matter, because as you said, we come in with one big orgasm, we going out with one big orgasm.
Yeah.
I have to tell you this, sister, you've just given me an entirely different track. And this is what I've been working for a long time. I've been working on another track, another description for that visual that I have of my mother. See, some people would look at that and think trauma, right?
Yes.
And some people wouldn't be happy. I don't give a fuck. That was my mother and that's my father. So I really don't give a fuck what people think about what I'm saying. That's mine.
Right.
But when I look at that, you can't escape death, or what you call death, and it's going to be fucking glorious. It's going to be as glorious as the conception. You can have a fit about how it happens, but the one thing that you can't stop is the orgasm of death. You can't stop it.
Nope.
So we need to stop being so fucking sad around so many things.
It's the attachment. It's the attachment.
It
is. You know, it's the attachment. And it's, right, I mean, as humans, like, we love our children and parents, and it's this physical attachment. And I'm not going to lie, I struggled with it for years, death, because I didn't understand it, and I didn't want to understand it, and I was scared of it and fearful. But it wasn't until I had this realization and this understanding that literally just one day came to me, and I think it probably wasn't long ago, probably a couple years back, in my mid-30s, and I was like, holy fuck, like, the power in which I came. And then it's the same, because everything is yin and yang, birth, death, everything, happy, sad. Everything has its opposite. So, but the power behind it is the same.
Right.
And when I got that, I wasn't scared anymore, because I was unattached from the physicality and this dimension. Because, you know, this is, you know, a lower dimension, right? So that higher frequency, that high dimension in which we came, from which we came, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
And to which we are still attached, Kelly. I
yes,
think this is where
absolutely.
People get fucked up. When you talk about attachment, We forget that we are part of a continuum. And this is when I go back to the whole thing about, you know, the puzzle pieces and those moments in life where we are shocked, or as some people would say, traumatized, whenever we're hurt. I think we forget that we are part of something larger. So the attachment, our attention on those uncomfortable things, we amplify those things through our feelings. And if we could amplify our feelings around the continuum of life, the whole fucking universe, and it's very possible to live in that space. If we could do that, the things that we encounter in these bodies would be more juicy in some regards and less painful in other regards.
Yes. Oh, totally. Yeah. You know, and all of the, you know, it just, it makes all of, also for me personally, it makes horrific shit not less horrific, I don't think. I don't know how I'm trying to say it, but it makes the horrific bad shit that you see that is completely inhumane and terrible by anyone's standards, when you know in your bones what death really means, it makes it, that overrides the pain of the horrificness, if that makes any sense. Like, do you know what I'm saying? For me.
No, I absolutely know what you're saying. And I think as you're talking, I'm thinking about how disappointing, ultimately for me, it's disappointing that we don't live into the juiciness of life. When we see horrific things, we see people attempting to hurt. It's a high sign. I keep talking about my dad. It's a high sign of a lack of understanding around how juicy this shit can be. It's like we take an out. Sometimes human beings take these incredible outs. They say, I give in a big way. And they don't have to give. You don't have to give up in a horrific act. You can actually give in an orgasmic act. This is why I think sex is so important also, Kelly, is that if we had more people studying sex versus war, imagine the fucking place we'd live in.
Right.
We got a trillion dollar military budget. Imagine if we had a trillion dollar fuck budget. I don't know. I would just want some funding. 90. I would just want a little bit of that funding. That's all.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my God. That could be a whole other topic. Can we have a, we have a fuck budget? What are we going to do with that?
Maybe we can get to that on our next episode.
I know.
We got about 90 seconds to go, but go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you know, if we could just start in the schools instead of like reading and math and, you know, whatever the other damn boring ass subjects are, like, you know, condense that shit down. You know, teach these kids about sexuality in a healthy way. Teach them about self-actualization. Teach them about awareness. Teach them about connection.
Yep.
Because that's what's lacking.
Yep. We teach them about all of the technical stuff. We teach them about all of the material stuff, but we don't teach them any of the emotional stuff. We, you know, and I know a lot of this, you know, we get to this conversation about whose responsibility that it is, parents or teachers or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's everybody's responsibility.
It's everybody, yeah.
All right, sister, we got to sign out. What was that?
I said we have to prepare the kiddos. But yeah, we have to sign out.
We got to sign out. Tell them where they can find you, Kelly V. How do they find you if they need you between now and next Monday?
I'm on Facebook, Kelly Vandiver. Look me up, and I am there. I'm also on Instagram every now and then. And, of course, you can go to kellyvandiver.com and get on the wait list for when the website launches soon.
Get there, people. Get there. And we'll come back next week, and we'll be talking about the fuck budget. You want to be here. So,
fuck budget.
Fuck budget. All right, my love, I will talk to you soon. We are signing out.
Okay,
this is Kelly V, Ulysses Yummy Liberation with Kelly V. Talk to you all soon.
Yum.
Take care, everybody.
Adios. Bye.